Well, thank you for tuning in today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and I want to extend to you a special invite to join us for our 2009 Reformation Conference. 2009, that's October 9 and 10. It'll be here at the Linden United Reformed Church, and we have the privilege of having Dr. W. Robert Godfrey, president of Westminster Seminary in California, an excellent speaker, to lead us in this conference. The title of the conference is Christ-Centered Worship. What a relevant subject for today, Christ-centered worship in an age of spiritual chaos. And Friday, October 9, he will be speaking on Christ at the center of the church. That's at 7 p.m. here at the church. Saturday, October 10 at 9 a.m., he will be speaking on Christ at the center of worship. I will be doing a session at 10:30 on Christ at the center of preaching, and he will again speak at 1 o'clock, and we will have a question and answer at 2:30. October 9 and 10, please mark your calendars. This is free of charge to you. I promise you it will be a time of spiritual edification and growth in your understanding of gospel ministry. So again, we extend this warm invite to come to our conference, October 9 and 10. Visit us on the website at lindenurc.com for more information, or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Now, time for the radio broadcast.
Peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we're continuing our study of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and if you were with us yesterday, you saw and we studied together this marvelous scene where the Lord comes down and reveals to Moses exactly what he sees and knows about what the children of Israel are facing in bondage. So he says, and I can't imagine the feeling that must have come over Moses, face bowed to the ground, terrifying, trembling because of the holiness of God. He covers his face, he ducks, and Moses hears God say, "I have come down. I hear their cries, Moses. I see their affliction by the taskmasters, and I know their pains." Now that is an amazing account of the Lord, what it reveals about the Lord. Remember what I said yesterday, that we really do learn about the character of God in the Old Testament. Now, the Lord represents himself here as coming down. We often think of heaven as something way beyond all of these galaxies, light years away. So far, God seems away from all of us, right? Away from his people. But you know, the Bible depicts heaven as a sort of another dimension that we are unable to recognize with our senses. In other words, that is another dimension, but yet that is here. When Jacob's eyes were opened to see, remember back in Genesis 32 and that scene, what did he realize? Well, he realized all the way back in 29, 28, there were all these scenes. But then you had this glorious scene of this vision where the ladder was set down to him, and he realized that he was right at the gate of heaven. Or think about Elijah praying that his servant's eyes would be opened, and what he learned was that God was present on his glorious mountain right there. Horses and chariots of fire were all present in this dimension that is closed for us to see. The Bible presents God as encamped around his people, surrounded around his people. He has surrounded them, encamped around them, set a hedge around them. That's what Satan said about Job, that God had set a hedge around him. What a perspective when we think about this as God's people, or as those who have truly believed in Jesus, Christians. We're in the presence of God. Acts even says he's not far from anyone. He's not light years away. Now, this has a huge bearing on my perspective about everything, my prayer life, how I live, that God is in this midst. And what a perspective that everything that I go through in this extremely sad world with death and sorrow and bondage, what is God saying to Moses here? When he looks at Israel, he sees it, he hears it, and he knows it. He knows their pains. Can you imagine Moses hearing God say, I'm coming down. I'm coming down to deliver and to bring them to the land of milk and honey. The angel of the Lord, the Melech Yahweh, was before him as a flame of fire. How exciting this must have been. How excited Moses would have been. I wonder what he thought. I wonder at this moment what he thought in Exodus chapter 3. Was this the time for the incarnation? Was this the time for the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham that in his seed who is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, all the Gentiles would be blessed? Was this the time that the promise of Genesis 3 was becoming a reality? That the Savior would come, that the Deliverer would come and crush the head of the serpent? I don't know what Moses thought here, but whatever it was, can you imagine what he felt when God said this, verse 10 of Exodus 3, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You're going to do what? You're going to send who? I'm sending you, Moses. You know, this is always the great struggle for the servant, that God would use sinful, weak men to accomplish his purpose. And any true servant has this great burden upon him. You know, every time I go up into the pulpit and I preach the gospel and I preach at the Linden URC, I have a great burden upon my heart. And you know what the burden is, my friends? The burden is these words that are going to be delivered through my mouth by the unction and power of the Spirit have a bearing on people's eternal destinies, where they're going forever. And you know, the amazing truth is that God would use such a weak, foolish vessel like me to do that. That he uses weak vessels, sinful vessels, to do his work of saving. And even the least likely candidates at that, you know? David was a ruddy youth who knocked over Goliath. Jeremiah was another youth who went into the temple and confronted all the old elders of the people. Amos was a sheep herder from Tekoa. These are the kind of weak vessels the Lord desires to use, and I have no problem saying I'm weak. Moses struggles with this. In fact, two very real problems come out in the text, and they come in the form of two questions to the Lord. Now remember, Moses' face is still covered. He's afraid to look upon the Lord because of his holiness, because of his glory. And what's the first thing he says in verse 11 of Exodus 3? Who am I? That's enough to think about in and of itself, but we put it together. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I am not able, Lord, this is the point. Now, this is not the Moses we've met. Moses, at one point, was ready to do this himself when he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Moses was hoping to lead a revolt, to have the children of Israel rise up with him and lead them out. In fact, in this very chapter, when God initially called to him from the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. That was a response of willing service and readiness. Send me, O Lord, Isaiah said. Something had happened to Moses. I believe with all my heart that when one truly stands in the presence of God, it completely humbles a person. When Moses saw himself as he should have all along, what did it do? Well, he covered his face. He was afraid to look upon this messenger. The picture we have here is Moses seeing himself for the first time in light of the glory of God. He had come to the light, and as Jesus says, look, when anyone comes to the light, everything is exposed about your life. your filth, your sin, your iniquity, what you're hiding in your hearts, what you're really doing. This is what all the reformers understood about life, you know? Calvin wrote this: true and sound wisdom consists of two parts. So in other words, here's the most important knowledge that you can have, my friends: the knowledge of God and of yourself. He says, it is certain that a man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself unless he has first looked upon God's face and then descends from contemplating him to scrutinize himself. In other words, you don't even know who you are until you really come to a saving proper knowledge of God, of his holiness, of his glory, and then you shrink back in shame of your own life. You cannot come to the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and not become totally emptied of yourself. I've always said, it's evident when one has not yet been converted. There's always an attitude. There's always a certain amount of self-confidence. There's always a certain amount of pride. This confident demeanor in one's own wisdom, own abilities, own successes, and a disgust to have their life confronted. There's an abrasive confidence that they're going to run their life their way, accomplish things with their own ingenuity, and who in the world has the right to tell them how to live? My friends, this is the great need of today: a recovery of God's holiness and hatred for sin, because when one is truly confronted with God's holiness, a holy despair and dissatisfaction overtakes your heart so that you say with Isaiah, "I am undone," meaning I am destroyed. And it's like a light bulb has gone on. Finally confronted with your own life, you have a horrid sense of how drastically defective your life is in light of God's glory and holiness. And you can do nothing other than duck and cover. In fact, you die to the self. And the only one who can truly deliver you as you look outside of yourself is Jesus Christ. While you say, "Who am I?" He reveals himself as "I am." We'll see that tomorrow. This Jesus, have you embraced Jesus Christ as your righteousness and life?
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.